Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
All right, you're very welcome back. We had Aisling Thompson in studio a couple of weeks ago to talk about a whole range of things, from doubleheaders to her work as an ambassador for Pieta House's Darkness Into Light event, which is happening in the early hours of tomorrow morning. We're going to get to that in a second. But recently on the show, we've been talking a lot about women's participation in sport. And we have a whole panel on this on tomorrow's show from half one. I did start by asking Aisling what it was that kept her engaged in sport at a young age.
Well, I think even just growing up in the country, and even, you know, New Town Shendrum, it's hurling country, like, it's,
yeah,
you know, that does help a lot.
You had a pretty good team when you were a kid.
Yeah, I actually played at Milford because New Town Shendrum hurlers were very successful when I was young. They won an All-Ireland club in 2004.
Yeah, Ben and Jerry.
Please, God, say I'm right. no, but, yeah, like, you know, New Town is huge hurling county or country, but let's say I played at Milford. I started off there. My mum actually taught in Milford NS, so initially we obviously went there, still teaches to this day. So yeah, they set up the club then. They decided, look, we have a bit of talent. They started the sports first in the school,
right,
and seeing that there was talent there, so they set up the Camogie club.
Is Milford and Newtown, are they close?
Yeah, they're neighbouring,
right,
villages. So,
and does Newtown have Camogie?
They did, yeah.
They did, okay.
But it's just because of the fact that we went to school in Milford, because obviously Mam was a teacher, so,
yeah,
you know, initial reaction. Even though my brothers played with Newtown.
Right.
But I suppose...
No controversy in that.
No controversy, no. But I suppose it was the Camogie club that was set up, so obviously, naturally.
Yeah.
So yeah, and like, I think that was a big help. I could think really where you grow up does help a lot, kind of into.
And also, they were an amazing team that you were on.
Yeah,
you won everything. At
oh
every
yeah, like we were very, you know, blessed to have the players we did. We won everything, schools, you name it, like up under eight up to senior level. Like
right.
It's always been that one group.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
So that's like, pretty handy.
Yeah, and obviously there's been players that have come and gone, but we've been blessed, like, and it's for such a small place as well.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of us do come from neighbouring villages, but I would like to get the point across. A lot of people try to say we're pulled and dragged from every area, one of those clubs, and it's BS, right? That's a lie, because anyone that has ever played at Milford has first ever started playing Camogie for Milford.
So they scout them young, is what you're saying.
Bar one, due to the fact that a club folded, but
okay,
again, it's only 5 minutes over the road.
Yeah.
So that's fair enough, but hugely successful. But going back to the point of, you know, young girls and why they're dropping out, I think it's a lot to do with parents, a lot to do with schools. Let's say, I don't think, you know, a lot of schools aren't implementing physical education enough. I think even there was a few cutbacks recently where, you know, maybe PE was 30 minutes once a week. That to me is crazy. I think PE should be mandatory at least 3 to 4 times a week in schools, even if it's 30 minutes. You know, you need to be exercising every day,
yeah,
never mind 3 to 4 times a week. And I think it's just parents in general. Again, it goes back to maybe that parent had never been involved in sports, so they didn't initially think that, like, that's where my child needs to go. But, you know, everyone experiences, you know, some sort of struggle in life, and I think exercise is massive. You know, for me, that's where it came from. Eventually, that's how I appreciated the sport, was, you know, I had a few struggles and it was my sport that pulled me out of that and kept me going. And, like, I think parents need to make sure that their kids are involved in some sort of exercise. It doesn't necessarily have to be GAA, but, you know, I think it's coming into the fore more of how exercise, you know, has such an effect on mental,
yeah,
you know, fitness as well as physical.
I think we probably all need to do a slightly better job. Maybe we're doing an okay job of explaining that to people and kind of saying that this
is... But again, it comes back to preaching. You know, mental health as well, like, you have organisations like Pieta House, you've Cycle Against Suicide, Headstrong, like, they're amazing people, you know, and what they do. But again, it's like, even when it comes back to sport and the mental side of things, like, the biggest reason why top athletes fall into depression is because of injury. And I think there is a huge gap there between sports and mental health, where there isn't enough services available for the athlete. You know, and that's huge in sports too. Is I think that that's kind of another area we do need to work on, is kind of implementing.
Yeah.
Even when it comes to the GPA and WGPA, it might be nice to see maybe, you know, one of these organisations teaming up, you know, because let's be realistic, like, for me anyway, I know people in the WGPA, and, like, again, this is just personal opinion, I wouldn't call them because I know them. And it's hard. It's hard to tell somebody, you know, your issues. It's personal, like.
Yeah,
of
course.
And it's hard.
It is, I'm sure it is. Do you remember the first time you spoke about your issues? If people are familiar or they're not, when you were 19, you were in a car accident.
Yeah, yeah.
And you couldn't really play sport for a long period of time, and that triggered a bout of depression that lasted quite a long period of time.
It did. You know, it lasted for a few years, like, easily. Again, it goes back to kind of, I just didn't know where to go. And even when I came to my family, like, growing up in a GAA environment, it's tough love, like, you know, there's no, like, I love you, or bye, ma'am, and a big hug. It's like, go on, get out the door and don't be late for training. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah.
It was difficult. And again, as I said, depression was never spoke about. I didn't even know what it was. I didn't even know what was going on in my head at the time anyway.
Yeah.
So, like, do you know, I do remember, like, when I did my first interview and I was absolutely scared out of my mind.
Why did you decide to do that one?
It's just that flashback of, like, you know, and of course, even speaking to my coach and stuff, like, he had a, you know, a massive influence on my turnaround and all that. And, like, you know, he had always told me, like, don't ever care about what people think of you, you know, as long as you're happy. And, you know, you live your life to the full and do what makes you happy. Stop trying. I was always a people pleaser, trying to please everyone, and kind of forgot about myself. And even people with mental health issues tend to do that. They seem to worry about the world rather than themselves and taking care of themselves. So, like, he always taught me that. And as I said, it's, you know, it's about growing and it's about learning, and things go wrong and they go right. And it's all experience. And I think just even battling through that tough period really taught me a lot about myself. And just to stop, you know, forget about what people think, because at the end of the day, your happiness is number one. Like, even in general, like, you know, let's say I have a profile or whatever and people might think that I do a lot of things for money. If I was broke, and I've always said it, like, I would take back my profile, everything, like, you know, anything that has come to me for my happiness. And I've always said that from day one. And I say it to this day. I only had a conversation with one of the girls the other day. I would take everything back if it meant being happy for the rest of my life. Like, that is number one to me. And it's that one message or that one email I received after that article is what changed. Probably changed my life, I'd say. Do you know, and the way I view the world now. I have a completely different view.
Yeah.
And it's about helping others. And I always think I was that teenager stuck and never read about it, never heard, never had anyone to look to, you know. And there's so many, even teenagers, you wouldn't believe the ages of young girls and boys writing to me, thanking me for the help. Like, it's huge to actually see how much, you know, from what ages, like, people are affected.
Yeah, it's very scary,
by
isn't
mental
it?
Health issues. It's really scary. And yeah, that's why I decided to do it, is because, I don't know, it was just something in me. And as I said, these little conversations I had with people, to just do it, like, if it makes you feel good.
Two things strike me. You have to be very strong to deal with that, because ultimately, yeah, that negativity can easily,
it does,
could easily get you down,
yeah,
and it could easily kind of,
it does,
be something that you regret doing. And the other thing is, somebody in the meantime had to intervene, or you had to, that person who is outside of your, mm-hmm, your family cycle, that might be useful for people who are listening, going, well, what did you actually do to get to a point,
yeah,
where you were able to look back? So,
yeah,
what did break the, how did you get out of the original mental health issues that you were having?
So eventually it was like kind of like I was a ticking time bomb in a sense. You know, you're battling up everything, and you know, I always thought that I'd be able to take it, like, no matter what. And that's what happened to me, is I kept it in for so long to myself, is, you know, I had a mental breakdown, a physical breakdown. I was never the same person. You know, I've always said it, if you could look back at me then and look at me now, two completely different people. Like, I didn't know what was going on, but I knew I had lost myself. You know, eventually that awareness does come to light.
What age are you at this stage?
22, 23.
Right, so you've been living with this since you were about 19, 18,
yeah,
19.
Yeah, I was 19, yeah, when it started. But, like, you have to make the effort to find the gateway. That's the thing, you know, is like some people think it'll just happen. It won't. It won't happen overnight unless you make that effort. Like, and even though I wasn't making efforts at times, I always held on to that one little bit of hope. And it was actually my sport. Like, I never gave up camogie. Even though I'd given up on everything else, I never gave up on my sport. Because it was the one thing I always trusted in.
Yeah.
And it always made me feel good, and it always made me feel better. So I kept that going, and just eventually I just hadn't, like, hit rock bottom 5 or 6 times. And, you know, you just know. You know when you know. And you just, no matter how much it hurts you, you just have to, you have to go with your instinct and just talk. I think talking, even though it's something we do every day,
we don't really, though.
You know, yeah,
we don't
really
talk about stuff.
But we don't talk about
important stuff.
And, like, I'd say the first conversation I had with my coach, that outside influence, like, was, God, I don't know, I could have been there for 2 hours, like, easily. I probably would have been there for 24 hours if I had the chance.
And that was the first person you spoke to?
Yeah, like, properly, you know. Yeah, like, I lost a lot of trust in people, so I literally, my cousin is, like, probably the one friend I had at the time, because I just seemed to lose trust in everyone, which is normal, because you're just in an awful negative mind frame anyway. But yeah, he just kind of, he was an outside influence, had battled his own demons in the past, could relate to me a small bit, and just kind of offered himself up as a friend more than a coach.
Yeah.
Which I think is huge. Like, I think it's extremely important for a manager to get to know the person behind the player. And that can make the world a difference. Like, that changed my life, was that one coach. Just having that conversation and just letting it all out there. Obviously, I didn't, even my first interview, I never said it all from day one, because, you know, it takes time.
Yeah,
I mean, you're not going to take all the risks in one go. But, you know, it was that one conversation that kind of, and that one interview that kind of led me to the point of just, you know, the more I speak about it, there's always stuff to add, but, like, the more I talk about my feelings, and even it could be something that happened yesterday, I'll pick up the phone in a second and ring one of the girls and tell her.
Yeah.
It could be that my bloody, I don't know, my nail broke. And I'll pick up the phone. Like, it's, yeah, it does, sadly, it comes to a point where it is make or break, and a lot of people don't make it out, which is terrible. But I still, like, you know, I always feel like there is a point in time where you know it's time to just make that change. And it's how you go about it. Luckily, I was involved in sports and right person at the right time.
That involvement in sport continued, because, like, your physical health was deteriorating, your mental health was bad.
Mm-hmm.
You'd had great trauma in your personal life.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you're still playing camogie the whole time.
Yeah, that's it. And, like,
there must have been days where you're going, I'm not going. I don't want to go. I'm staying in bed. I'm not going.
Yeah. Like, I remember in the beginning, all right, it was very like that. But, like, it was just the coach we had. He was, like, I seemed to see the as time went on, like, the improvement was massive. Like, again, he was literally a blessing in disguise. Like, I'd never been involved with, you know, he was brilliant on the training side and the mental side. Like, he was the perfect mix. He could break you down in tears at training, but you'd be laughing going home. Like, really testing you, but in such a healthy way.
Yeah. in a way, you're like, it sounds like you're very lucky. Like, if that person had been just the wrong character, yeah, and not out of any
of
badness,
course,
but just
but
incapable of dealing with that, then
yeah, absolutely. Know, like, I always say I was lucky, but at the end of the day, I always put it back to work rate. Even when it comes to anything in general in life, the harder you work at it, the better the prize. And it still took me 3 years to find that coach.
Yeah,
you know, and that's where it's coming back. Like, someone could find. You know, it could take a month, it could take 6 months. It took me 3 years.
To find somebody you could speak to.
To find somebody that I could really confide in. And it's the effort you do make to find that gateway. That's what I bring it down to. Yes, it was luck, but at the same time, life in general, if you work your ass off at it, the luck comes. It's like in a game. If you give it 120%, it might be that bit of luck that gets you over the line.
Didn't you know at the time that you were actually working, that you were looking for somebody, that was something that was actually conscious in your mind, that actually in the midst of this depression, you're working to get out of it all the time?
Yeah.
You did know that?
I did and I didn't. But I think it just came back. I think it was an underlying thing.
Yeah.
As I said, I was extremely competitive. When I was in nappies, I'd say I was competitive. I have two older brothers. So growing up, we were punching the heads off each other. Like, you know, it wasn't a case of, you know. So I think even genetically, it was bred into me. Work rate was always bred into me, and fight and hunger.
Yeah.
And I think underlying, I didn't realise that, you know, I'm trying to find. Like, a lot of the time, you're numb anyway to your emotions and feelings when you are depressed. And you're always trying to figure out, why is this happening to me, or how do I do it? But I don't know, as I said, when you hit rock bottom, you just take those small little steps. And I think it was just an underlying thing in me that just always seemed to hold on.
Yeah.
And always fight for what I really wanted.
Yeah. And is that why you're so happy now being a spokesperson for this? Because, like, I understand there will be some negativity from people, but actually, screw them.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah, totally. I've had plenty of it. But look, at the end of the day, I'm not the only one, because everyone seems to think that I think I'm the only one that has a mental health issue. No, I do not. but no, like, yeah, of course. It's anything in general. If I bloody came out and invented Facebook, people would have an issue with it. Like, you know, it's like, and it's not, I'm not saying me. Anyone in general that's out there in the public or speaks about something or... you know, is something to talk about. There's always going to be a keyboard warrior, like, let's be realistic.
Yeah.
But as you said, it's just, it's all, you know, it's all about learning. It's all about experience. And I've just learnt along the way, and is just, you know, focus on yourself. Worry about yourself.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you're one person. You've one life. It can be taken away from you in the blink of an eye. So why not? Do whatever makes you happy, whether it's right or wrong, you learn.
Yeah.
Either way.
Okay. You seem pretty confident and comfortable now being a spokesperson for these things. And, like, we need people to be leaders. We need people to stand up and say, actually, you know what, I'm willing to take whatever nonsense I'm going to get from people who are just keyboard warriors ultimately. But actually, I don't care about that, because this is important enough.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
We kind of struggle to find people who can articulate the stuff that you've been through and at the same time then go and still play camogie to a very high level.
Yeah, like, it is hard. And I suppose even coming back to, like, darkness into light and all these things, it's like, you know, like, it's what would you say? Like, it's very helpful for people, because I am, like, up on that pedestal. You know, sometimes it might come to a point where people just don't tend to listen, that, you know, it's like, even young ones, let's say, like, they look up to me. So anything I say, you know, I make sure it's effective.
Were you ready for that? Did you know that was going to happen when you started talking about this kind of stuff?
No, I wasn't ready. And I'm not going to lie, it was very overwhelming. And it wasn't the reaction. I loved the reaction, because then I felt, yes, it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, and it has helped. But it did become very overwhelming in the beginning. It is tough, but, you know, and sometimes I kind of took too much on at one point. And again, as you said, playing at a high level in Camogie, was hard to balance both.
There's pressure now every time
there's
you go
loads
out.
Of pressure, like, yeah. So you know, but going back to trial and error, it's just I learned from it, and kind of I don't tend to do as much now, but when it comes to, like, you know, doing whatever I can, whether it's putting out a tweet or putting up an Instagram or raising some sort of awareness, you know, it's like I do take the opportunities, because as you said, there's not enough people coming out speaking about these things. And I think it's people like myself, or even Take Brezzy, or, you know, anyone. It's like when you have that platform, take it, you know, because it's very hard for somebody who, you know, is, I'm not saying that I'm above anyone else, but, you know, let's say Jimmy down the road, it's very hard for him to get his point across.
Yeah.
You know, about his struggle. So I think it's athletes and, you know, anyone in the limelight, in a sense. Again, I'm not being, you know, but it's just, you have to kind of see, you know, what effects it's going to have. You have to see, you know, how it's affecting the country and what sort of awareness it's bringing, because I don't know, even I take it myself, I see, even the first time my interview came out, I even see girls and just mental health on, you know, the women's sports side of things. I think it has grown since I've kind of came out and talked about things, you know, people kind of accept it more. And even in GAA, you've seen hurlers and footballers come out about their issues, and
yeah.
You know, it's brought mental health into some sort of a light.
Well, the last time we had you on, you talked about one of your opponents in a club game giving you verbal abuse about,
oh, yeah,
the issue of mental health.
Uh-huh.
And I wondered if that would happen again now. Like, if things have moved on to a point where actually somebody might feel that they can't bring up the issue of, mm-hmm, your mental health,
yeah,
as a means to try and sledge you now. If we've seen some progress, even in that period of time from, I think that would have happened about 2012, would it?
Probably would have been 2014. So
would it? Yeah, okay. Have we seen progress, or are people still...
Yeah, we've definitely seen progress, but, like, you see, the thing is that it's kind of like, again, we're trying to get people to wake up and act on it rather than... being aware about mental health. Like, we're all aware.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, there's always room to raise more awareness, of course. But, like, for the people that are aware of it, I think it's time for people to wake up and act on it. And literally, by just saying that one sentence, or, you know, just letting your temper get the better of you, it could end someone's life. Like, you've seen plenty of teenagers that have been bullied, or, you know, you see it, like... I don't know, like, one child makes up a rumour about someone else and it causes a teenager to go off and commit suicide. Breakups, all that kind of stuff. Like, I think just now, the more it's becoming aware to people and the more we're creating this awareness, it has died off. Like, even people saying things, like, people are now realising that, like, you have to watch what you even say to people. Like, you can't speak like that to someone and expect it not to let it affect them.
Yeah.
But even, to be honest, what bothered me the most is you're playing at senior level. You're clearly old enough to know. But clearly people aren't old enough to know that, like, you can't say these things, like. But, you know, that's what it's all about. It's about acting on that awareness and just getting people to know that you can't say or do these things without thinking it's going to have an effect. But... It has died. Like, I haven't seen it again.
Were you ever tempted to go back to whoever it was that...
No, because as I said, like, it was something... You know, it was obviously hard to take. Like, and obviously, like, I'm not saying that I've never said anything in my life to a player. Yes, I've been verbal. Of course, I've been verbal to referees, but I would never say something like that. I would say something that might, get them mentally, you know, weaken,
yeah,
their mental side... In the game.
Yeah, you're not, like, doing very well today.
Yes,
or,
exactly.
That was pretty easy for me. Thanks very
try
much.
And,
traditional, the old school.
Try and mess with their concentration and,
yeah,
focus when it comes to the game, but I would never say something like that to someone. And
sorry,
I
can't remember the specifics, but if for anybody who didn't hear the last time you were on, what was said?
Oh, yeah. So, like, it was kind of heat of the moment, but so let's say... The player turned around and, like, it was getting heated and there was verbals going back and forth, names being called, but that's fair enough. That's on either end. That,
yeah,
happens every day in games.
Yeah.
But basically she turned around and said that, like, you know, when you had the chance to pull the trigger, you should have. And then on another occasion, same one again, turned around and said, would you blame him? Like, my ex-partner and best friend, like, had committed suicide. And she turned around and said, Jesus, would you blame him? Like, and I just cannot, I've never in my life heard that though, as in, to be fair, like, I've never heard that type of sledging ever in my life. And what, do you know what galled me the most was the referee was close and the teammates were close. If my teammate said that to someone, not because, like, even before I ever struggled, if I heard a teammate say something like that to a player on the opposition, no matter how much I hated her, I would dick her. Do you know, not even take a second glimpse, I would dick her. I'd bury her into the ground because it's disgusting, you know. And I just, again, as I said, at that level of camogie, a club level senior, like, how could you even say something like that to someone? What would bring you to that point, do you know? But as I said, it's the first time I've ever come across it, like, something like that being said, ever. I wouldn't consider calling someone a bee is sledging, like.
Yeah.
Because everyone's a bee. But yeah, no, I haven't seen it. And I think, as I said, all, like, mental health is like, it's huge now. Everyone, you know, knows about it and stuff. And
but we're not maybe doing enough.
We're just not doing enough,
like,
yeah.
It's like we have the posters up and we have the conversations, but actually turning somebody and going, are you all right?
Yeah.
That's the big difference. Or somebody saying, actually, you know, and I'm not all right.
This is it, yeah. I think we're great to talk about things.
Yeah.
Again, Irish people in general, we're great to talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we are terrible to act. And even Darkness Into Light have kind of this new wake up. Let's say that they're, you know, bringing into the campaign is for people to just wake up and act on it. Stop talking about it.
Yeah.
And just, you know, little things every day. Like teenagers, again, don't turn around and call that person, you know, something or judge them because you don't even know the person. Do you know what I mean? It's like anyone in general, like, just watch what you even say to someone, because all these little things have an effect.
Do you find, Ashling, that this has changed your day-to-day life, that actually, you know,
yeah,
you're able to practice?
Exactly, yeah. Like, even as I said, I'm no angel, like, you know, and I definitely wasn't an angel growing up, or, you know, when I did hit those few obstacles or whatever, I wasn't an angel. I turned into an absolute demon.
Yeah.
A devil, like.
In on the pitch and out, off the pitch,
both, yeah, right. On and off, and even now, every day, like, I watch what I say, or even if I say something that maybe I shouldn't have, I always go back and explain as to why I said it, or yeah, you know, people know that I'm always coming from a good place, because as you said, like, it's all experience,
yeah,
and I do put it into everyday life.
It's impossible to put the demon away forever,
of course, it's like, always there, like, yeah. There's still that part of me that's always going to be there, but you can always work on it. There's always room for improvement, like, and, you know, it's about having the coping mechanisms, it's about having, you know, it's all about life skills and, you know, what you learn and the experiences you go through. Like, I always cherish it, like, you know, even depression, I would never take it back, because I don't think I'd ever be the same person. I'd never be the same athlete. I would never have the desire I do now to succeed. Like, you know, it's taught me so, so much.
One last thing about that, really, because, you know, it's clear that you said that, you know, if you look back, I'm not the same person anymore. And it's clear, listening to you, that, you know, that person broke and then you put it back together in a slightly different...
Exactly. That's
one
it.
That was capable of growing, as opposed to that was just breaking.
Yeah.
I want to finish with, like, a transcendent memory. You speak about being at the top of the steps, having won the All-Ireland, captain in Cork, and you kind of have this out-of-body experience where you're looking down.
Yeah, it was just, I think kind of every emotion came to me at once. You know, I was like, you know, I remember even quoting something on Instagram. It was like, always think back on why you're here. Do you know what I mean? What you came here to do. Like, it felt like that, as you said, it felt like the jigsaw had been completed. That this is what I came here to do. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, growing up even from a young age, captaining your county team to All-Ireland glory is top of the pile, like. It's top of the list. And it just felt like I had completed. I literally would have died happy that night. Do you know what I mean? Like, it felt like all the blood, sweat and tears and all the years of trauma, and it's like any other person is when you literally, it felt like my life was complete, like, you know, that all of it was worth it. And it's a feeling I'll never forget. And even looking at my mother and my brothers, and people were crying and we never cry, I'll never forget it for the rest of my life. I felt so, like, it was such an accomplishment, and, you know, it was out of body, like, you know, I felt like I wasn't even real. It just, you know, it brought back just a huge, just that instant flashback. Like, always remember, like, always think back and remember why you're here. You know, you're here to do a job, and it's always going to be tough. There's always going to be obstacles along the way, but if life wasn't a competition, I wouldn't enjoy it.
Thanks for joining us, Ashley. That was great.
No problem.
I hope you have many more of those out-of-body moments at the top
please
of the
steps. Please, God. Yeah. Please, God.
That's Aisling Thompson speaking to us there just a couple of weeks ago. She was talking to us as an ambassador for Electric Ireland's National Wake Up Call campaign, which is looking to raise awareness around the issues of suicide and self-harm. Electric Ireland wants everybody to wake up and walk from darkness into light with Pieta House at 4:15 tomorrow morning. You can register at darknessintolight.ie. Very worthy cause. Darknessintolight.ie is the website. Coming up in the next hour, we've got the crappy quiz, the off the ball bag, and Friday night racing with Don and Paddy.
Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.